Welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am James.
And I'm Samantha.
And we're all alone.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
You and I. And we are going to be sued.
Probably. And it wouldn't be the first time. Bryce is off at a wedding.
Loser.
I don't know if it's his. I don't think it was because I wasn't invited. And Jim is, I think he was kidnapped.
I think so, too. My minions might have gotten to him. They were supposed, they're going to be in a lot of trouble because they were supposed to get him after we recorded. It was going to be a surprise, but I think, whatever.
You two, it's funny. Back when Bitmoji was on Facebook before they
the bit
got
strips.
Cowardly. And, bit strips. I set up a comic where you two had a rivalry, and that rivalry is actually, it feels like it became real.
I know.
Like I willed it into being.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
It's like you two refused to be on the same podcast together.
I will not talk to him. What's funny is that we've never met each other, yet we feel like good buddies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's very interesting.
I think Jim gives off that please stalk me vibe.
Oh, yeah, he's super stalkable. So I recommend everybody do it.
Well, he's also been the stalker as opposed to the stalkee. I've borne witness to it. It's kind of scary.
I have a friend from school. She was always a little stalkery with guys. And we'd be, like, riding our bikes around town, and she'd be like, all right, let's go this way. And I'm like, okay, da-da-da-da-da. I don't know where the heck we're going. I'm just riding my bike, having a good old time, being a kid, doing kid things. And we would be, like, riding by this dude's house she's got a crush on. And I'm like, man, you're being a little creepy, so can we just get out of here?
That poses an interesting question, though. When does it become stalkerish behavior as opposed to just wanting to, you know, see that person? I mean, when does it cross that line? What constitutes full-on stalker?
Well, I think that's a lot of it's going to be in the eye of the beholder. Like when you look at How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, yeah. Perception is always reality.
Yeah.
But
and I like
I'm saying from the outside observer. Just
in.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know if, like, stalkers recognize
you've
stalking.
Well, you've stalked a few
guys. I mean, The Rock, I'm sitting across a cafe looking at The Rock right now. So, you know, I've got him over there. I've got another one to my right. So, I mean, they, you know, and they don't even know that I'm stalking them. I'm that good.
You know, back when he was, because he was here in Portland filming the movie Central Intelligence with Kevin Hart.
Of course.
For a hot minute.
I'm not living there.
And when he was in town, I really debated going down to try and meet him and get pictures to send to you.
I would have murdered. You should have been like, here, let's call my friend Sam.
You know, he strikes me as the kind of guy that would have been all over that.
Absolutely.
Just called and left messages on your phone.
Right? Oh, my gosh. Or just, like, FaceTime. Be like, let's FaceTime my friend Sam. I'd be like, I would have died a little.
I just would have taken pictures, like, holding on to his muscles or something. Things that you would have done.
Yeah, right? Well, like, my dad.
Don't you wish you were me?
I'd be so upset. I'd be like, just raise your arm, raise your bicep, and let me just hang off of it like a kid.
I would have sent you pictures of me oiling him up.
Yeah, I'd have been jealous. Super jealous.
Wish you were here, Sam.
Screw you, James. Jerk.
But, but that is the question. I think that's today's question. When does it become stalker behavior? When are you a full-blown stalker?
I think when it becomes
how
excessive.
How soon before the restraining order?
Right. Because it's going to start becoming obsessive. When it starts becoming obsessive and you can't stop, it's just like with any other addiction.
Yeah, yeah.
It's when you can't stop.
Today's show, we will give you the signs. When are you a stalker? You know what? I'm going to Google signs of stalking. Just because I want to know what the professional definition is. So
the psychological definition of stalking.
Yeah, because this is okay, so here it is. Signs of a stalker, are you being followed, from a securelife.com. This article, where are the signs? I just want to read the signs. Okay, so here are some statistics. 6.6 million were stalked in 1 year in the United States, but it doesn't say which year. Just
that seems
one
super
random
legit.
Year. Men are stalked too, although 76% of stalking victims are actually female, nearly one in four stalking victims is male. Stalking tends to happen among young people, persons aged 18 to 24. So I would say you learned stalking. So your friend learned stalking when she was a teenager.
Yep.
Three in four stalking victims are stalked by someone they know.
Yep.
Most people know their
together.
Stalker instantly. That's interesting. 66% of female victims and 41% of male victims are stalked by a current or former romantic partner. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Most of the time when you hear about stalking, it's usually a jilted lover, a jilted ex-lover.
Yeah.
76% of women murdered by an intimate partner have been stalked by that person in the year prior to their death.
Super fun.
10% of victims report being monitored with global positioning systems.
Oh, my gosh.
I want that GPS. Siri, stalk Samantha.
I'd be like, oh, man. There he is again. James, stop stalking me. We're friends. God. You have my number willingly. Get the drone out of here.
Here are some common forms of stalking behavior. Following you or showing up wherever you are. They may or may not make contact with you, but it doesn't matter. Watching someone repeatedly is a form of harassment.
So everybody I work with is stalking me?
Everyone. Every single person. Every time
every
you watch
day.
The Rock, you're stalking him.
Ah. Well, I'd already admitted to that. That's okay.
Sending persistent unwanted gifts, letters, notes, emails, texts, or messages via social media. Samantha?
Sorry, I just like you so much. I want to give you all the gifts.
I was talking about The Rock.
Well, him too.
Sending clumps of your hair to The Rock is stalking.
Hey, I did just, I cut my hair. I took a foot and a half off.
Yeah, I saw those pictures. You look good, by the
way.
Oh,
thank you. So, yeah, so I've got hair for days to go to people I'm stalking.
Did you give it to Locks of Love?
I had enough hair. I gave half of it to Wigs for Kids, and the other half was to Locks of Love.
And some of it left over to make a fur coat for your local homeless person. You're
yes.
such a giving person.
I try. You know, you got to give back a little bit, you know, or a lot, whatever you want to do.
Whatever, doesn't
or
matter.
Or not at all, whatever floats your boat. No, everyone should give back at least a little bit.
If you can. If you're like me and you have very little hair, keep it.
Yeah, you've got like the, you know, what, Butters. That's what it, Butters. Oh, my God, I remember that. You
do,
used to call you Butters.
I have a Butters haircut. But I will say once a month I do shave my back and give it to the homeless to make a quilt.
Aww.
I am a giver.
You are.
Getting back to stalking, damaging your home, car, or other property, this is a sign that you could be being stalked. I apologize for slashing your tires last week. I was just frustrated because you wouldn't return my calls.
I mean, those tires are expensive, man.
No, but, you know, it was either that or stealing all your underwear.
I would rather you do that.
Monitoring your phone, computer use, or social media accounts to learn about you, your family, your personal life, and your whereabouts. Okay, that alone, everyone has done that. Everyone has Facebook stalked someone.
Everyone. Dude,
no one is innocent of that.
When you're in the military, that's the first thing they do. When they learn the name of the person that's coming to them, they're going to start Facebook and social media stalking them to know who's coming into their workspace. And what's funny is when people go, I Facebook stalked you. And I'm like, oh. Or when you're a new girlfriend or a new boyfriend, all their friends start Facebook stalking you. Some of these people knew so much about me.
Yeah, they want to learn everything there is to know about you. And we learned firsthand that employers Facebook stalk.
Yep. That's why you gotta be careful what you put out there.
Yeah, be very, very careful. We learned that lesson the hard way. I never mention where I work. I've talked about my work and things that I've done at work. But I also, if I'm going to mention someone by name, I let them know.
Yeah. Except me. Use my name all the frickin' time with no permission. Anyway.
This next one, I think this is like advanced stalking, using technology like hidden cameras or global positioning systems to track where you go.
Oh, so that's like what Obama did to Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Hashtag fake news.
My wife gave me a new one to call Trump today. She called him the tangerine ball bag.
Oh, my gosh. Funny.
That one had me rolling on the floor. That was great.
I've been saying Cheeto. I've been saying Cheeto in chief for the last 2 weeks.
Hey, just got word from Jim. He's on it, so hopefully he'll be in here pretty soon.
Good, loser.
Well, you know, I think Jim actually might have some stalking stories, so we'll have to ask him when he gets in. Threatening your family, your friends, or pets may also threaten to reveal information, true or not, that could damage your reputation or relationships.
Man, if someone threatens
my
pets...
That happens anytime you have a breakup.
That's true. But, like, if someone threatened my pets, I would go all John Wick on their ass. Oh, my God. Like, not even kidding. My dogs mean more to me than 98% of humans that I know, and that includes certain family members. I love my dogs just so very much. If someone did something to them, oh, that'd be it. You would not survive.
You have an almost unhealthy love of your dogs.
My dogs are awesome. You've only met the one.
Almost unhealthy.
Almost, yeah. There is a boundary there. They are animals, and I don't anthropomorphize them that much. But I do talk to them.
This seems like it goes along with the whole Facebook stalking, but seeking information about you via public records, online search services, private investigators, or by going through your garbage personal property. They may also contact your friends, family, neighbors, or coworkers to gain access of information about you. This is also how many people check you out when you're looking for employment.
Yeah.
Especially government jobs, I feel. Yes? No?
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, government jobs, they're going to do a background check anyway.
Yeah, it's all background checks. So, stalking or background checks, you decide. Posting personal.
Is it just gonna, man, will you leave me alone? What? I'm just doing a background check. Just to make sure we're compatible.
That's all I'm doing. Posting personal information or spreading harmful rumors about you. That's high school.
Yeah, right. Dude, you never actually leave high school.
No,
which
not
sucks because like I had a good experience in high school. I don't have anything like super negative to say about it. Yeah, there were some bitches, there was some drama, whatever. But I had a good core group of friends. I had really great people to look up to. I had a good experience in high school. But my high school was really weird. We were small and didn't, you know, it just my high school was a little odd. But all the stereotypical crap, I didn't experience that much of it until I went out into the real world, and then I was like, wow, you're all children.
Yeah.
What? And then I go into the military, and that's high school. I loved it, and I had a wonderful experience. I was in for 7 years. I loved it. But, you know, you never leave high school. Never, ever, ever, no matter what you are in. Now I work for a major corporation, and I'm like, this is even worse. It is high school. Can't even believe it.
It's funny. I mean, that's you're exactly right. You never really leave high school. We all mature, we grow as people, but there is always a hierarchy. There's that popular kids versus the loser kids kind of mentality. No matter where you go, there's always cliques of people.
And there's always going to be cliques and people, but I think that's shifting a lot lately too. I was just at the Origins Game Fair this weekend, in Columbus. Have you heard of that one? That's the big board game RPG convention that, like...
No.
Okay, well, like, Will Wheaton and Felicia Day usually go to it, and they haven't been there the last, like, maybe 2 years, but I was really sad because I want to meet Felicia Day. But
oh, I do, too, for probably different reasons.
Well, I mean, I've got a little girl crush on her, but I think she's awesome, and I think Will Wheaton's really cool, so I was like, oh, man, I want to meet these people, but they weren't there. But I was volunteering with my friend's booth, and he was letting us advertise for It's All Been Done Presents. So it was a trade-off. And the dude who owns the RPG publishing booth that I was helping with is this, he's a jack, and he's from New York, and he's all buff and stuff, and like, hey, you would not think he was playing RPGs for the last 40 years. And, you know, when he was a kid, just like when I was a kid, it was, I mean, I'm not 50, but, you know, it was like...
Wait, you're not?
I'm not. No, don't I look great? I was an athlete in school, so I never... If I brought up, hey, guys, let's play this really cool game, it's Dungeons & Dragons, my friends would have laughed me out of my brain. It just, it didn't happen, so... I can't even imagine what it was like for him, being even older, being super athletic. He was an MMA fighter, for crying out loud, and been into this game. Like, we weren't allowed to let our nerd flags fly. And
Oh, yeah.
We can now.
And it's completely accepted to be a nerd now, but
yeah.
Back when we were going to high school...
It was nuts.
The kids playing Dungeons & Dragons did it, like, completely in secret.
Yes, it was like a little society.
Yeah.
I just got my first set of RPG dice this weekend, too.
Well, look at you, you little nerdling.
I know. Adorable. So anyway, back to stalking people.
Yeah, I'm trying to find warning signs or things that say warning signs of a stalker, but I can't find a good list.
I was like, you might be a stalker.
Great articles, but... Oh, okay. If you think you have a stalker, here we go. Four things to do if you think you have a stalker. Number one, let this person know that you do not want their attention. Stop following me.
Hey, you, I do not want your attention.
How many times do women say that in bars?
A lot.
I don't want to talk to you.
I do not want your attention. Oh.
Number two, don't keep quiet. Tell your family and friends, hey, everyone, I think I'm being stalked.
That sounded so convincing.
Number three, avoid all contact with them. They work in the cubicle next to me.
I'm watching you.
Stop it. I do not want your attention. I have told my friends and family.
Oh, now you're going to die.
Number four, make notes of the exact time that the stalker contacted you and by what method.
Yeah.
When is it okay to go to the police or to get a gun and kill them?
Is that what it says?
No, that's my question.
Oh. Hey, I have a gun for home protection.
You are a gun.
I am a gun. Yes, I am. I've got my little pocket
fact
knife.
About Samantha, she is a lethal weapon.
Literally.
Hey, look, there's Jim. Let me see if I can get him. Now
Jim.
He's on. Add people. Let's see if this works.
Yeah,
interesting little thing that, because, you know, oh, now he's busy. Fuck you, Jim. You're too good for this show now?
You're too good for your home, Heather? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Behold.
Oh,
hello?
Really loud, brother.
Well, you know, I was born this way. Big is more than just a mentality or a body mass index number. It is actually just... It's how I'm programmed, it's how I'm wired, so I will try to be more quiet and more verbally
small.
Less assaultive.
Less assaultive. Jim, Samantha and I, we started the show without you because, well, we just did.
Okay, well, words hurt like sticks. That's fine.
No, suck it up, Buttercup.
God, I miss you.
Miss you too.
Like a bracing shot of vodka first thing in the fucking morning. Samantha, you just kick me in the ding ding when I need it most. Thank you so much.
You're
I
miss, so
I miss
welcome.
You. Like it's days long.
I'm here to do it anytime you need.
So what do I have you, I guess, for this are you like a madam, like, or are you like a what do I call those? Like,
she's an insult hooker.
Okay. The insult dominatrix. Insultatrix.
Domination is the term I was looking for. James, first of all, you owe her an apology. Because Samantha will cut a bitch, from what I understand. So
first of all, I cannot apologize for Montana.
Right.
I'm not responsible for that.
No, yeah, we both ended up there on our own, like
we went there by choice.
The will of God was like, you two shall meet here. And then we were like, oh, this sucks. Let's
your eat. Tears will rain down from big sky country and flood the valley.
Yeah, you know.
Great spirit prophesies you would meet.
That's a bit then, strip that needs to happen.
And then you get your tiger.
And then my tiger.
With another tiger.
And then tigers are all around. Oh,
they got tigers. They got tigers in Montana. Like, okay,
yeah,
just pretend like for a minute.
They give you one when you enter the state border.
That's weird.
And it proceeds to maul your genitals the whole time you're there.
And by genitals, you mean like, you know, will to live and ability
exactly.
to survive.
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
Gotcha.
And one
gotcha.
Nutsack is the will to live. The other nutsack.
Well, I don't like that tiger or that lion. I don't like that at all.
Or bear.
Voting no,
that's
probably
not a good tiger.
It's not a good tiger at all.
Well, so you hit it at the yeah. perfect time. We were just discussing stalking and what constitutes stalking. I happen to know
okay.
you're an expert on it.
First of all, acquitted, so fuck you. It was speculative at best. My lawyer's not here to sort of advise me whether or not to mention or talk about a certain situation, but so what about this particular category that you have questions about?
Well, we were actually discussing what constitutes stalking, and Samantha mentioned that when she was in school, she had a friend who had sort of a stalking fascination. Let's not call it a problem.
Mentality.
She was stalking curious.
Yes. Stalk curious.
Like Christian Bale from American Psycho, curious about like a certain aspect of their psyche, like, you know.
That is exactly what we're going to say here.
Okay. So we'll just call it, we'll call her Christian with a K. Christian Bale.
Yes.
Had this fascination. So you're asking what constitutes stalking?
What, in your opinion, when does it cross the line from crush, say, to stalking? Because we were discussing some of the things that a stalker might do in his pursuit of said victim. And one of the things that
okay, well, first of all, you use terms like victim, like right there, I would say red flag a little bit, just a tiny
victim.
Like a hot pink flag, or like maybe like, you know, a chartreuse flag. You know.
Well, one of the things this article that we found said was they will research you online. They'll look at your Facebook page. And my response to that was, everyone does that. Employers will do that.
Yeah.
In high school, that's how a guy or a girl will kind of keep track of the object of their affection. But when does that affection become dangerous to you? When would you say that crosses the line? Also, watch out for that Mack truck.
Thank you. Well, you know, I'm light on my feet. I'm a heavy guy, but I'm like, you know, very, you know, dexterous. First of all,
you can take a punch, is what you're saying. You
know, ask Lilia. Of course I can. You know, I used to go gut, not face, because face is the moneymaker. Guts were like, you know, it'll hurt, but it won't show.
Yeah.
like, you know, if you look back on our on all of our high school experiences, you know, James and I, you and I are kind of, you know, close in age. Samantha, I forgot, you're like, what, 17, 18?
Oh, you're dead on.
Yeah, it's like I fired from the carnival. I can't get ages or weights, so.
32.
You're 119 pounds. You're 17 years old. When you get to be our age, you'll understand things a little bit differently, I think.
The world changes if you get older.
I can't wait to be 800.
Oh, just give it time. Just,
that's our prime age. Sure.
Age is a privilege.
well, or a curse. I mean, however you want to sort of, you know, put that down on paper. But no, like I was going to say, with James and I, you know, growing up and going to school in, like, you know, the early, or the late 80s into the early 90s or whatever, and then, like, in the high school and everything else, we didn't have the benefit of, you know, internet stalking or...
didn't have Facebook. We had to stalk, like, real stalkers, wait out windows.
Well, yeah, I didn't have Facebook until I was in the military, so I was already graduated by the time Facebook became a big thing outside of colleges.
See, I forgot, Samantha, you were trained to kill, so I will change my tone with you.
Get right,
and
boy.
And apologize. You, ma'am, yes, ma'am. Apologies again.
All you know is killers.
it's so
stalkers
terrifying
and killers.
To live this life. I mean, Bryce, obviously, Bryce, the sniper. Bree, Samantha, you know,
Samantha.
Yeah. James, you and I are the chubby targets of which they will have plenty of ammunition to sort of just take out at will. But no, I was going to say, like, when we were in school, we didn't have the benefit of being able to go to somebody's internet page and look up their, you know, let's sound as old as fuck, their MySpace page, you know,
oh,
their friends with,
yeah,
Tom,
MySpace,
obviously, and see, you know, what other things are into. Okay, so, like, you know, Hearts Ringing Down and, like, a good, solid Creed song playing in the background as soon as you load up their page. You didn't really have all that information, so all you really had was what you knew of them and their friends and your friends that knew them, and sort of how you could sort of chisel out what information you could.
Weasel out the information without looking, sounding like you're trying, like you're interested.
Yeah.
Wait, so let me get this straight. You actually had to talk to someone?
Yes.
You know, maybe not them specifically, but someone that you knew that knew them, or, you know.
Right.
So, you know, and again, that of course would generate this whole whisper down the lane thing where, you know, maybe not necessarily true, but it's something that you heard from somebody, heard it from a friend who, heard it from a friend who, heard it from a friend that you've been messing around. So, I mean, it was really kind of hard to sort of get that solid, you know, undeniable information. So, but your question was, where does stalking cross that line from just being, you know, curious about somebody to, like, you know, going through their garbage and, you know, planning, you know, drugs and or dead hookers in their general vicinity so that you maybe get to see them in court, just some kind of way. I think when you get to a point when you know you're staring that line in the face of, you know, you shouldn't go any farther than what, you know, you may have some questions you want to have answered, and you're either too shy or the other person is not willing to give you those answers right away. So when you see that line and you go across it anyway, as soon as you do, that's the slippery slope. That's a very sharp cliff. And as soon as you do so, you're just right in the valley of, you know, sexual assault and or, you know, whatever it is, you know, you want to go toward.
Whatever your method of torture may be.
Yeah, you know, but okay, so... full disclosure, I had a situation in high school where there was a girl that I had a mad crush on. And looking back at it, the way I went about getting on her radar would be technically considered a form of stalking, if you will. Let me finish, please. Thank you very much. Give me all the – go to the Burlington Rope Factory and just give me all the rope that you can find. So I went down like this. Okay, so there's this girl. Her name was Anne-Marie Nightingale, which, I mean, come on. Listen to that name. That just sounds, you know.
Yes, that girl, completely stalkable.
She sounds hauntingly beautiful.
Did you just hear what James said? She sounds totally stalkable. Like, that's what a stalker says. Yeah. That's like number two on the list of things that stalkers say. Yeah, look at her. She's obviously very slow. She's in a wheelchair. She's got bad vision, so obviously.
I said stalkable, not kidnappable.
Okay, you're just.
The kidnapping takes a lot of effort.
James,
I don't want to put in that much effort. Look, I'm just keeping tabs on potential targets.
Okay, well, she's smarter now after this whole situation went down. She's obviously, she's on point. She's looking for guys like you, James. Specifically guys named James or James.
Thanks for ruining it, Jim.
Well, you know, it was the 90s. What else did I have to do? So,
true.
But no, okay, we're in high school. I was a shit. Well, I was a shit. But I mean, I was a, I was like a sophomore. And
you were a sophomore shit.
Well, that's soft shit.
Yeah, damn it, you beat me to it. I was going to say that.
There's the quick and the next. Come on, Samantha. I know you're better than this.
I know. I was distracted by Twitter. I'm sorry.
Do some stretch. Who are you stalking on Twitter right now?
Right now I'm stalking other podcasts to grow my audience. But me personally, let's see, who am I stalking on Twitter personally?
Dwayne Rock Johnson.
Well, that's a given. Like, that's not even, like, that's a given. Let's see. I am stalking Elvira currently.
Elvira?
I love her.
Oh, my
Cassandra
God.
Cassandra Peterson.
Okay, so
Elvira's my hero.
I
got to
about her after this whole thing. But, yeah, Cassandra Peterson, oh, my God. Have you seen her pictures naked?
Not fully, no.
Has it?
I will send this to you, but okay.
Okay.
So, anyway, back to the story of me, you know, potentially stalking this girl from high school. So there's this girl, Anne Marie, and I had a mad crush on her. And so I knew that she didn't really kind of have me on her radar, but I thought that maybe if I could sort of try and use some, differently oriented techniques. Maybe this would sort of get me, you know, a little bit more attention. Again, which is what a stalker would think, you know, like, you know, early on. So what I did was I started, you know, printing out messages to her on my computer, which was like this ace-ass piece of shit. It had like one of those printers that you actually had like the belt-fed paper.
The dot matrix printer?
Oh, yeah, like the perforated sides where it was being fed like a machine gun. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would write her these messages, and the first one I sent was I took a picture of like a beachfront, like the sun setting, and there's a palm tree, and there's the beach, the waves and everything else. And I said, you know, life sucks. Why don't you just run away with me, ... And so I took that, I printed that up, and I'm not saying that's what I'm going to do to her. I'm just giving her putting the ball in her court.
Yeah,
so
giving her the
terrifying
option.
Terrifying about that message.
No, it would be her choice. He's, you know, you're giving her the choice. It's just an option.
James, Samantha is acting as my legal counsel right now, so if you have any questions to me, you will direct them to her. Thank you.
I didn't know your lawyers at Frost and Speedy had hired Samantha.
Oh, bro, man, too soon, man. R.I.P. Speedy. Anyway, so I put this message in, you know, I printed it up and I folded it up and I slid it into her locker. And I was kind of I was in the friend zone at this point. So my dad was also working at the same high school, I had to get there like, you know, crazy fucking early. So I had plenty of time to go to her locker, you know, sniff it, you know, kind of like, you know, what? Is that weird? Is that weird to do or say
no,
out loud?
No, that's totally fine. It's normal.
Just locker sniffing. I'm sure you did that a couple of times too. But so I go to her locker. I slid this message in there. And so somewhere around lunch, she comes up to me and says, you know, the weirdest thing happened to me this morning. I'm like, what happened? Please tell me. He said, like, you know, a total bullshit, you know, look on his face. He's like, somebody put a message in my locker. I'm like, oh, really? It was like a bomb threat? You know, no. I said,
you're so smooth.
You know, when it comes to playing dumb, Samantha, trust me, I can teach you a couple of things. Whatever you need to know, look at this. This frame is just built for, you know, lack of intelligence. So, she comes up to me and says, you know, somebody left this message in my locker. I'm like, that's weird. What did it say? And so it said, you know, I think it said, school sucks, run away with me, and everything else. She's like, okay, well, that seems kind of strange. Yeah, I know. But I'm intrigued. Like, who do you think could it be? I'm like, well, obviously it's got to be something very mysterious and muscular. and, you know, very sensitive. You know, maybe he watches, like, a lot of romantic comedies and this, that, and the other.
Wears a lot of Chester hats.
Yeah, he was just... Oh, fuck you. God damn it. Yeah, no, you know what? No, I have to own that shit. Yes, I wore a lot of Chester hats. And a Captain Crunch glow-in-the-dark anchor around my neck for at least 7 years. Fuck you.
Big pimpin'.
I have no idea. Over here.
Wow. Samantha just sounding all kinds of legit, right? Just, yeah, big pimpin'. Mm. Lowercase b.
Yeah, lowercase big, lowercase b.
Ouch. Just, oh. See, like, you know, as you know, so we got Bryce, the joke sniper, and we've got Samantha, who's more like, you know, the joke Wolverine. She's got the claws. She wants to get up in close, and she wants to see your eyes go dim when she just runs those fucking claws into your heart. Just
she's the best at what she does, and what she does is hilarious.
Yeah. Hilariously not very nice. But, you know, respect. Samantha, respect.
You can
so
take
anyway,
it. That's the only reason I do it. You can take it like you take it.
Just remember, friend.
Oh, Ludo!
Yeah, Ludo, friend.
Yay! Anyway, oh, that made me happy. Okay.
All right, so just be nice to me, please. That's okay. All I'm asking.
For 5 seconds.
Until it's time exactly not to be nice. So anyway, okay, so I put this note in her locker, and I say, you know, hey, you know, run away with me, yada, yada, yada. And I was just sort of judging, you know, her response all the time, and she became, like, enamored with, like, this person. She said, I've got, like, this, what do they call stalkers before they called them stalkers? Secret admirers.
Yeah.
Those are the phrases that you could never be, you know, tried as a secret admirer. Like, what are you in for? I was admiring someone secretly, and then it became public and not here with you for a lot of years. You know,
orange is the nickname. That's like one tier up from pedophile in prison.
I was a secret admirer for many years.
Both were secretive. Anyway, so I put that note in her locker, and, like, you know, I'm talking to her, and this becomes a motive of conversation between the two of us. And so I realized that she's totally into this whole thing. So I start sending her more and more messages, you know, like cryptic and, like, you know, I'm like, you know, hoping you have a good day. By the way, I like that scrunchie that you had in your hair, like, you know, at fourth period. She, how did you know? Those were like that black crushed velvet, you know, scrunchie that one day. That's what you call it, those little hair ties?
Yeah, like, the scrunchie. From the 80s and 90s.
Is it scrunchy or scrunchy?
Like, scrunchy. How do you pronounce that? Yeah, like scrunch.
Okay, scrunchy. Rhymes okay.
Crunch.
That's why she never went out with you. You didn't know the difference between a scrunchy and a scrungy.
Hey, if you had a sparkly crushed velvet scrunchy, you were the shit in those days, okay?
You were goddamn right.
Every girl that I admired secretly. Had one of those.
And the more colors you had, the cooler you were.
Oh, yeah.
And let's not even get started on denim scrunchies. Girl!
See, like, I'm on the fence for that.
This show has desperately needed a feminine voice.
Thank you. Wait, okay, now that hurts me because I thought I was the feminine voice prior to this whole thing, but... You know, there's some girls who could rock a denim scrunchie that was, like, you know, full on, like, it just fit her frame her face well. Other girls, oh, God.
Some girls were just not rock and roll enough for it. They just couldn't handle
it.
Their hair would just fall out.
So anyway, so I started sending her more and more messages, and the more I did, the more she got, like, just thoroughly, you know, enamored by this person, and, like, you know, she and I would have conversations. It was, like, something straight out of, like, a John Hughes meets Eli Roth kind of, like, you know, movie. Like, you know, it's one part romantic comedy, one part, like, you know, this guy has clearly got a lot of information about you personally. How the fuck has he not been arrested yet, you know, or at least spotted outside of your house, you know, with, like, a boombox and or, like, a spotlight or something?
Okay, be honest, Jim. How close were you to being outside her window with the boombox?
Well, first of all, I did have a boombox, but I couldn't afford batteries, so it had to be, like, a long, long, extensive cord. And, of course, before we actually had, like, the plug-ins, like, the cigarette lighter in the car. So my Ford Pinto did not have the kind of battery power to be able to give me, like, the audio fortitude to be able to stand out and serenade her with, like, you know, either in your eyes or, you know, the cult of personality or something.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Which Sabotage song would you have used?
White Witch, coming for you, yeah.
Oh, I have a funny date story when this is that has to do with some music too. So okay, anyway.
Okay, I'll try and speed this whole thing up because this
is
getting really.
No, you're fine.
Really
this is great.
Yeah, well, my lawyer's sitting there just like tapping his wristwatch, like giving me like the, you know, the throat cuts and stop fucking talking. But okay, so it boils down to like this went on for several weeks, and she was like, I wouldn't say frothing at the mouth. You know, she got bit by a tick, but that's another story. Whatever. But she was like, you know, she was desperate to find out who this person was. And so, of course, me being like the ducky to her, you know, Molly Ringwald.
Yeah. Oh.
She's, you know, like, who could it be? And she's giving me ideas. She's like, no, it's probably not him. He's a soccer player. He's an asshole. Who's him? Oh, no, not him. He's closetedly gay. I heard from my boyfriend. I mean, a guy that I know. So it boiled down to, like, okay, so I figured out, like, okay, it has to come full circle. I have to let her know that I'm the one that's doing this whole thing. How she didn't know, I have no idea. So I finally put one last note in her locker that says, you know, I feel like, you know, the time has come for the two of us to meet. Meet me outside of your locker at 7:30 tomorrow morning. I'll be there and I'll, you know, some other cheesy reference or whatever. And so the day before,
there were 16 candles.
Exactly. You know, I'll be out there with like a Porsche and like, you know, a chunk of my ex-girlfriend's hair. Like, you know, that's like, you know, like, hey, I'm over here. You know, she got totally trashed in that before, but whatever. So, she's super excited and super, you know, wants to know who the fuck this guy is. And again, like, I would always get there school hella early. So
meanwhile, you're sweating this whole thing because you've got to come clean.
Or do I? Because, I mean, if I don't, she's never going to know the difference, you know, obviously. So,
yeah.
So here's what I did. I basically, I was going to wait outside of her locker. Actually, when I got to school at 7 o'clock, and she didn't get there until about, like, 7:20, 7:25. Not that I was watching my clock or had, like, a huge diary based on, you know, her comings and goings or whatever. I'm not that kind of a monster. But, so basically, I get to school that day. My dad, you know, goes out to this thing. And I sort of go down the cafeteria, get my breakfast, and I'm sitting outside of her locker for like 10 minutes. And so I'm just like, nope. Sorry, I'm gonna chicken the fuck out. And so I went to the cafeteria, and I hung out there. And then I had like a secondary change of heart. Like, you know, no, you have to if you want to you know, be the guy that you're trying to build up in her mind. He's been, you know, being all romantic and sending all these messages. You have to fucking go there and do that. And so she gets to her locker, and she's standing there, and she's waiting, and the time comes and goes. And so I just very casually kind of come walking, and I'm like, oh, hey, Anne, what's going on? Like, oh, is today the day? That's so weird. I totally forgot about that whole thing that I just totally made happen in, like, you know, my creepy-ish kind of ways. And I'm like, did he show up? He said, no, I've been here, I've been waiting for like 10 minutes, and he just never showed up. Like, well, actually, he did. He said, what do you mean? Oh, my God, it was you. I'm like, yeah, it was. And at that point, I'm just like, okay, so if I'm going to get arrested, now's the time when the cop's going to come out. And, you know, the guy from, like, you know, How to Catch a Predator, so like, you know, hell, why don't you just have a seat?
Why don't you have
Jim?
A seat?
Yeah, it's like some cookies or some other alcoholic beverage that you brought for her, obviously. But it totally worked my theory because she then realized the game I was playing. It was a very, you know, non-threatening game I was playing. I was trying to get her attention. I got it, and I played from both sides, and we actually dated for a while. And then, wait for it. James, you know me, and my Charlie Brown life, and this is
how. Just leave it at you dated for a while?
No, sorry, because, you know, Old Yeller has to get shot at some point in time, and so here comes the lock and load.
You can't be like Judd Nelson, just walk away with your hand in the air. Yeah!
Well, he kept walking, and then he got back to his house and realized, oh, yeah, that's right, I live in a manufactured home, and my mom's an alcoholic, you know, and I'm not an actual battle rapper. Yeah. But no, it got to be prom time, maybe a couple of months after the fact. And
my heart.
We had dated once or twice, and sort of made out, you know, here and there, and, you know, a little, you know, over the sweater kind of, nothing, this is a family rated, podcast. I'm not going to get too graphic and everything else, but
we never actually went like,
well, the meat fucking episode. Okay. That's neither here nor there. But so anyway, it gets to be prom time, and I'm fairly confident in our relationship at this point, not realizing that she is not on that same page at all. So I'm just, it's prom time, so I figure I'll just ask you the obvious question. You want to go to prom? Jokingly. And so, here's the thing. And at that point, I'm just like, oh, that's right. I'm me, and life sucks all the time.
Oh, no.
She's like, our friend, we had a mutual friend named Dan, and Dan had, he was a senior, and he had never gone to prom. He was kind of socially awkward. He's a nice guy. He was really funny, but he just didn't quite have the moves with the ladies, so to speak. And she's like, I would really like to go to prom with Dan because he's never been. And I figured it'd be a nice thing to do because it's his last year and everything else. I'm like, well, I totally get that, and I love Dan as well.
Love Dan so much you forgot his name.
Well, Dan Don. Actually, Don is his last name, so it's Dan Don. He's homeschooled, I think, for the rest of his college experience. Anyway, so she's like, yeah, I'd like to go to prom with Dan. But here's the thing. My very best friend really likes you, and I didn't realize that this was like her kind of like passing me as a torch from her.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, it gets so much worse. Can you wait? She's like, why don't you go to prom with my friend? I'm like, okay, well sure. I'll do this as a favor to you, my girlfriend, who I'm sure we'll be together for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out, her best friend had like a madman crush on me the way I kind of had a madman crush on, it's like a total, like a, some kind of wonderful, a three-way love triangle. So I started talking to her friend. I'm like, hey, would you like to go to prom? Absolutely. Okay, so how do you want to go to prom? Do you want to, I could borrow my mom's car, we could, rent a limo or whatever. And she's like, why don't we take my dad's car? I'm like, okay, well, what kind of car does your dad have? Oh, a cherry red Porsche 911. I'm like, we're taking your fucking dad's car. obviously. And she's like, no, the one drawback is the fact that I have to be one to drive it. It's his baby and everything else. And, he doesn't really trust anyone else to drive his car. I'm like, here's the thing. I've taken personal stock of how much my ass is worth, and it's not one Porsche, obviously. So you can drive. I will just sit there in the passenger seat like James fucking Bond. I will make you mix drinks. I will, I will rub your leg or whatever it is that you want me to do. Make funny, witty comments. And so we go to prom together, and she had like this amazing dress. I got pictures. I have photographic evidence of the two of us going to prom together. After prom happens, and so she basically gives me this whole thing so we got going on after this. I'm like, well, I'm probably just going to go to like the, ironically enough, I went to a Catholic high school. We go to the Jewish community center because that's where our post-prom is going to be set up. Technically Jesus was a Jew, so it isn't that far outside the realm of, possibilities. But she said, if you want to, we're all going to my friend's, cabin, and basically without saying it out loud to me, if you come with me, you will get laid flat out. There's going to be drugs, going to be booze, wax on the nipples, like whips and chains and shit. So basically everything from weird science was going to happen at this party. But the voice got to me and said, I should be good. And take care of my fucking goddamn exchange student from Spain, make sure that he's okay. And so I totally walked away from the girl with the Porsche and the guaranteed sex and the booze and the drugs and everything else. And so I've got this constant sense of regret from that day to this. So basically my message, my moral of this whole story is don't stalk because you'll always just end up at a Jewish community center wearing a big fat sumo wrestler suit getting pinned by a piccolo player from the marching band. That's just how life's going to work out for you. That's the long and the short, so.
That's a wonderful life.
So what was the original question? Yeah.
Oh, Jim.
Yeah, no. Yeah, just, and the entire time.
Just it's, once, it's, I want to hear a story where you win.
Yeah, you and me both, brother. That would be so great. But no, Samantha, you said you had a story about music.
Yes, please share your awkward dating story. And then I have a question to pose to both of you.
Oh, God.
Okay.
All right. So, James, I'm not sure if you've heard this story before. It's been a long time. So, let's see.
In the words of Staind.
It's been a long time. Okay. So, I was dating this kid. His name, what should we call him? I don't know, we'll call him Olive Head, because he was really skinny and tall, and he looked like a toothpick with an olive on top of it.
But he was really delicious with a martini.
Super, I mean, you just dip him right in.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So.
Olive Head. Nice. Okay.
So, good old Olive Head decides, I'm gonna take Sam. Says, I'm going to take Sam on a super romantic date. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be so nice. We were boyfriend and girlfriend. We're dating for a while, but he was driving me nuts. So,
so what grade was this roughly?
This was my junior year in high school.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
So 17 year old me, 16 to 17 year old me.
This was last year then.
Yes, last year. I just graduated this year, and someone's gonna think that's real, and I'm like, oh. I have fucked up too much in my life, and have too much wisdom for that to be real. So he asks me, "What's your favorite song?" And at the time, I thought I was cool and original, and I said, "Oh, it's Stand By Me, because I love that song. Who doesn't?" Darling, darling. So he picks me up.
One more time.
Darling, darling, stand.
Was that the awkward part of the story?
No, oh, that's always awkward. I'm always awkward, but I embrace it and it's fun. So he picks me up in his Chevy. No, that was his car. He had this little drop-top Cavalier.
Ooh.
He's super cool in high school, right? So, and it was red, too, so you know it was legit. It drove super fast because it was red. So.
It was red, so it drove fast.
James, first of all, it's a scientific fact that red cars go a lot faster than other cars, so.
Duh. That's why cops always pull them over. Yeah. They're racist. I get it, racist.
They're not racist, they're colorists.
Racist, racing, car racing. You know what? If you don't get my puns, go away.
Colorist? Colors, that's what racists say when they want to say racist, because they're obviously racist. They're colorists.
It's fine. We interrupted you plenty. It's all good. So, it's only payback, and that is quite a bitch. So he picks me up. And he's like, oh, I'm going to have her favorite song playing. It's going to be great. Only it wasn't the original version.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so this scream metal band did a cover of it. The band is called Pennywise, and it was like, motherfucker, motherfucker, stand by me. Motherfucker, motherfucker, stand by me. And
dude, I've heard Pennywise version. It's pretty fucking dope. So
it is. No, but at that time, I was like,
that's not the song she wanted to hear.
And I had never heard that version before. I don't know. I wasn't. I was like, what is happening in this car right now? I don't understand.
I didn't get an email. It was not written. I was not told there would be a cover version.
I was like, this was not what we agreed on. But, you know, well, we didn't really agree on anything.
He's got this look on his face. Just sort of like, you know, this is what you like, right? Yeah? So, yeah.
Dude, it was, the look on his face was super pride. Like, he was just smiling, and I was just like, deadpan face, like, mm-mm. Yeah, this is super romantic. This is great. Wonderful. So I grew up.
This date is not going well.
And we were boyfriend and girlfriend. We've been dating for a while, so it's not like we didn't know each other. So I was like, yeah, this is okay. And we get to, because we're going to have a picnic on the beach. And it was nighttime. Yeah.
Everyone will know that we are picnicking on the beach.
Yes. But it was evening time, so it was like a dinner, a picnic, it was night. And so we get to Huntington Beach, because I'm from the, like, Cleveland, the suburb Cleveland area. And,
Right on.
We grew up right by Lake Erie. So,
nice.
We get to Huntington Beach, and then we've got to go to his, quote, special spot. So he has, like, this special spot that he goes to like, think about his deep high school thoughts. Man, and, like, ask those big questions. So, moron. So, I'm just realizing in my life how aggressive and mean I am. So, I was like, huh. I didn't realize I was that aggressive when I was younger. Now I'm just realizing this back then.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, I'm a mean lady. So
I was kind of a jerk.
But I, you know what? I'm fine with it because it was funny. And if I can make someone laugh, I'm going to take whatever. I don't care.
Most sociopaths are.
True. So we walk like Lord knows freaking 2 miles down the beach. Don't even know. But we were walking forever. And it was low tide, so there's dead fish everywhere. So the smell is just fantastic. Want to dab it behind my ears every morning. We get to his wonderful, fancy spot, and he rolls out he brought a comforter. And it was his Voltron.
Of course he did.
Yep. And it had Voltron on it. And he's like, I've had this since I was a kid. It's super special to me. When he was going to leave for college, he tried to give it to me, and I was like, no, you can keep your blanket.
No.
That's fine. I don't need it.
We're a dead fish-smelling Voltron. Five lions coming together to form one cock block. That's just all you need. That's all
right,
you,
like,
bro.
Have fun with that. Use it on the next idiot dumb enough to date you, because I'm not doing this again. So he breaks out, like, his little picnic basket, and he gets a candle, tries to light it, but it's too windy, so it won't light. And I was like, it's fine. Don't worry. It's cool. That's not a big deal. And then he pulls out the food. If you can call it that. What he had prepared.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was laughing so hard at the Voltron dead fish blanket that I accidentally hung up the phone. I had to call back. So I apologize. 45 seconds of previous conversation.
Oh, that's fine. It's okay.
Goddamn.
It's okay. You haven't missed much. We've pulled out the picnic basket and the food. We're getting to the food that he packed for this amazing date.
So,
well, it's going to be something very romantic, you know.
Yeah, you would think, you know.
Cheese and wine?
I wish it was that. There was cheese.
I have a feeling you're not going to like this.
So he packed a couple sandwiches.
Okay.
Was it bologna and American?
No.
Oh, big spender.
No.
Tuna fish to go along with the fish smell that's going on in the ocean.
No, he just picked that right out of the sand and slapped it on the sandwich. So
he had mayonnaise in his pockets, like, pulls out like a big glob, like, slap. Here you go.
So, hey, this is great. So. Wait, you just gotta pick out the bones, it's fine. So, he had packed two sandwiches, two pieces of white bread, one slice of American cheese, and Miracle Whip. That's all that it was. And then.
Everyone loves the zesty tang of Miracle Whip.
I hate Miracle Whip so much, it's not even funny. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And if you enjoy Miracle Whip, you are doing the devil's work. It is so gross.
Agreed. A fucking agreed. I love mayonnaise, like, you know, like most white people do, but Miracle Whip, nah, there's something unnatural about that shit.
Right, I hate Miracle Whip. You give me some Hellman's, and I will eat that right out of the damn jar, because I'm a fat pig. But oh my god. Miracle
Freezing.
Whip is disgusting. So, Miracle Whip, one slice of cheese between two layers of white bread.
Fortunately, I think we're going to have to say no to that Miracle Whip sponsorship based on this show.
We're just about to send you a check for like six figures. Like, you know what?
Damn it.
So here's
your pro mayonnaise stance. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
So How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days has a sequel. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Minutes, and it's Feed Him Miracle Whip. Ding. So.
How to Lose a Girl in One Sandwich, I think is the sequel.
Oh my gosh, we should make a short film based off of this. It would be hilarious. Anyway, so So then there's strawberries that were out of season, and they had turned, and they were sour, and then stale brownies.
Mm. Oh,
and it was super awkward. I don't know. I don't know if he thought he was going to get laid that night or what. I never had sex with him.
Well, the sandwich killed any idea of that.
I mean, talk about a libido smasher. But I didn't want to have sex with him anyway. So I was like, well, that's never going to happen, so I don't have to worry about it.
That was his name in college after that date.
Dude. Oh. But then he wanted to do another picnic.
The mayonnaise is going to get her all in the mood. And then the rancid strawberries, that's where she's going to get a little inebriated, because it's almost like, you know,
fermenting them.
Well, I think he was probably hoping they turned enough to be like chloroform.
Maybe if you mix the strawberry and the Miracle Whip together, you get chloroform.
Oh, God. Okay, so stale brownies, rancid strawberries, and tuna fish sandwich on the beach during low tide. I mean, how are you just not just like, you know, just going at him like a wild animal?
I just wanted to not be dating him anymore. So I was like, oh, my God. He used to do this thing whenever I was irritated. He would just start singing. And one day I was like, oh, my God, you're annoying. And I just walked away from him. I just didn't care anymore.
Was it one of those things, like, you know, where somebody would say something, or you would hear like a part of like a song lyric or something that's totally unrelated to a song, but he would like turn it into a song and then start singing said song?
No, he would sing the actual lyrics to whatever song that he thought would like make me feel better. I don't understand how his brain worked like that. I was like, I don't get it. I don't understand. And then he would try to be all like manly and forcefully kiss me to show me how passionate he is about our relationship. And I'm just like, I'm going to wipe your spit off my face now and tell you to please leave. Because that was sloppy.
Oh, yeah.
Samantha, have I told you just how much I've desperately missed you? I mean, oh, my God. Like, you are a gift from goddamn God. I swear to God.
You're so nice.
Can I ask how long after this just education in romance that this guy put on did the relationship go on?
We dated for a total of 10 months.
Wow.
10 months?
Yeah, 10 total.
Because
which in
Samantha
high school
hates
years.
Herself.
Which what?
Because Samantha hates herself.
I do. I need to be punished. So.
Wait, Samantha, raised Catholic? Were you raised Catholic?
No, I was raised with absolutely nothing. My dad was raised Catholic, which means we were raised atheist.
More than likely, yeah.
So I was raised with no religious background. Current Christian, however, I don't know if that means anything, but current non-denominational.
The self-torture just sounds like very much you were raised Catholic, so maybe, you know, ipso facto.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I mean, because my dad was raised very strict Catholic, it probably did carry over, but not in a Catholic packaging.
All the self-torture, none of like the salvation.
Exactly. Just life is pain, then you die and rot. That was my dad's message. Happy Father's Day.
Anyone says otherwise, it's so, yeah. Thank you.
But if it wasn't for that jerkwad, I wouldn't have the sense of humor I have. So I guess there's silver linings everywhere?
Fuck, razor sharp, lady. Razor sharp.
I gotta say, listening to your stories makes me glad about my lack of love life in high school. I never thought I'd be happy with that.
Well, she hasn't got to the end yet. So, I mean, there's still more, you know, gold to be mined here, I think.
Oh, my love life is a mess that we can dive into whenever you guys want. It's fine. It's whatever. But so,
well,
like with this
I'd like
game,
to
with
save
Olive
that
Head.
For another show so people will come back and listen.
I got to know how you and Low Tide eventually, you know, cut things.
Yeah, I got to know the ending to this particular garbage heap.
So well, he wanted to do another picnic at one point, and only he didn't tell me about it. Like, my mom lived across from a pier, so he wanted to do a nice little picnic on the pier during the day this time, so not low tide, and it smelled like absolute, you know, fishmonger garbage. So, but he didn't tell me that he wanted to do a picnic, and I had made plans for that day. So then he gets all sad and woe is me, and goes and eats the picnic by himself. like probably crying. And then he's like, I had to eat our picnic by myself. And I'm like, you knew I had plans, bro. Did you think I was like, this was not a thing. You knew I had plans. I told you I couldn't do anything today, yet you show up to my house anyway with a frickin' picnic basket in your hand and expect me to... No, we did not have plans. If you're going to do something romantic, do it when you know I don't have plans.
I just imagine him with one sandwich in one hand, like the other hand also has a sandwich, and he's using to dry his tears with.
Man, I hope that Miracle Whip stings your eyes.
But, what she doesn't know is he replaced the Miracle Whip with her favorite helmets because he learned.
But it still was only one piece of cheese.
Yeah.
I mean, that was all the sandwich was. One slice of cheese, Miracle Whip, and bread.
And America's cheese. That's not even really cheese.
Yeah, it's like government cheese.
He's a frugal lover is what it is.
Well, that's where he fucked up, Jim.
I need money spent on me, damn it. No, I really don't. I'm just kidding. But
splurge on Stan. God damn it.
Yes, jeez.
You get some Kraft cheddar singles or you're out.
Over the weekend, I was helping at a game at the Origins Game Fair. I was telling James about that earlier. I was helping the Origins Game Fair, and I'm running demos for an RPG. And someone, one of the guys that I was, we were switching our other shifts, and he goes, so do you want me, like, do you want a water? Do you want a poppy side? I said, no, water's fine, but if you bring me something else, like, I'll have what you're having. I'm easy. And this guy looks over from another table, and I went, not that kind of easy. Turn around. And just kept talking. So, yeah, I'm mean. But, yeah, so Olive Head, Low Tide, whatever you want to call him, douchebag, dumbass, idiot.
That's his full name.
So, I have other stories of this kid. Like, we went to prom his senior year, my junior year. That was, I mean, it was a fun night, but, like, he's an idiot. Like, most teenage kids are. Not just teenage boys. Teenage kids in general are not.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know everything, so shush. I'm trying to remember when we broke up, because he kept trying to contact my friends. To be like, no, I met someone else. It was my stepbrother's best friend. And he was really cute. We got along great. And I was attracted to him. Whereas, I almost said his name, oh my gosh, whereas Olivehead, I didn't want anything to do with him. I wasn't attracted to him. There was no flirtiness or anything. I was just bored, and I didn't want to be dating him anymore. And
what kind of sandwiches did he like?
A lot of meat. He was meaty.
So, no, James, stop. Just step back. It's no.
He likes two slices of like salami. So.
No.
And we're done. So thank you guys so much for listening to another podcast. AKA the Meat Smith's Revenge. Just imagine this guy like, as like a meat smith, like he's like a meat forge where like, you know, he's like hammering out like, you know,
meat.
He's got a hammer made of meat. He's like, you know, hammering out like, you know, slices of like, you know, delicious like, you know, pastrami and everything else. He's got a shirt made of mayonnaise. I don't know why.
It's mayonnaise that holds the meat together on his body.
No, he just gives himself nice mayonnaise baths.
Ew, oh, that's gross. Actually, mayonnaise in your hair is supposed to be really good.
Come on.
Okay, I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
Since we've been talking about high school dating, and thankfully I haven't had to reveal any of my high school dating stories.
It's coming.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
So is he. Boom!
That story.
I want to know from each of you, and I will share mine, who is the quote-unquote one who got away, the high school crush that you never dated, but you still think about and wonder, would it have worked?
The dude that I had a crush on, middle school, high school, had his chance. We actually met up, had a great time, and then I learned that he was a complete and utter psychopath. So that's done. That's a whole nother story. Oh my god.
Please share.
No, that's a long story. That's gonna be for another day.
Oh.
Just remind me of the Arnie officer, and I will tell that story.
Interesting thing about Samantha, Jim, if you didn't know.
Hot Army guy.
Every one of the men in her life has some sort of weird name.
Well, they're,
for a while, there was hot black guy, hot British guy, hot Army guy. Now we know of Olive Head, Low Tide.
And then there's also a hot Hispanic guy. And then and then my current boyfriend is the Viking biker.
The Viking biker. Jim, did we lose you? I feel like we lost Jim.
Oh no.
Perhaps his phone crapped out.
Maybe. Yeah, because it's just you on the thing.
You just disconnected. Let's see if he comes back.
All right, I need to put you on mute for a second, so...
Hello?
Well, of course. There's Jim.
Yeah, no, I had heard everything about the sexy biking biker, which, I mean, again, you need to put the prefix of hot in front of that whole thing, because obviously if he's a biker and he's a Viking, obviously he's been chiseled out of a larger, hotter man into like a smaller, more, you know, compact version that's able to date Samantha.
Yes.
But no, James, so who is yours, the one that got away?
The one that got away, and wow, this one,
what's his name?
Steve. And
so
this
sad.
Girl, I first noticed her in seventh grade, and we went to school all through my freshman year before my sophomore year, when my mother decided it was in the best interest of the entire family to move everyone to another town, which turned out to almost end in me taking my life, which we've discussed on this show before. But the girl's name was Nicole. Well,
so refresh your memory about that whole thing.
Oh, the Newport thing or the suicide thing?
I would say the suicide thing. If you want to.
The suicide thing was, I was pretty much at my lowest point in my junior year. I had some good friends, but I was just going through a lot of emotional stuff. My parents were going through a divorce. Couldn't get a girl to notice me to save my life.
No matter how many sandwiches you brought to them.
No, I even tried the Dot Matrix secret note thing, and that just nothing. And I was kind of an outcast, not for anything I had done, just for the way that people saw me. The school was, I don't want to say it was conservative, but the people who partied the most looked like the nicest kids in the world. Do you remember that movie, Disturbing Behavior, Jim?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the blue ribbons, that was the entire school.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Later I found out those were the kids that partied the hardest.
Yeah.
So, but I was kind of ostracized because I had the long hair, dressed like, you know, kind of a rock punk guy. And just
listen to Blind Guardian, which is like some weird German band that no one's ever heard of before.
Yeah,
I guess
garbage. So yeah, it was just not doing well. And then I decided that, you know, I had enough, and I attempted to, like, I had blade to wrist, and kind of in an epiphany moment, just kind of went, you know, this is not going to solve problems.
No.
And it was that epiphany of, like, you know what, this is all going to end. All of this is going to end. You know, so
these rough times are not, they have not come to stay, they have come to pass. And there will be a time when it's not as bleak and hopeless as it appears right now.
Exactly. And I decided I wanted to be stronger than that. I wasn't going to let high school beat me, essentially. And as it turned out, it was a good thing, because about 3 months later, I met a fantastic girl actually moved to Portland to be with that girl. I got my stepfather, who I was living with, to move because he hated Newport as well. So it was not that hard to convince him. Like, hey, you want to move? Yeah, let's move.
Yeah.
So the girl, the one who got away was Nicole, just gorgeous, blonde, beautiful girl next door type, and just huge, huge crush on her. Could never, ever get up the courage to talk to her.
Huge boobs, just like huge, bigger than my head.
You know, like she was quite buxom, but that wasn't it. Honestly, for me, while she was very attractive physically, that's not what attracted me to her. I can't say for sure because, again, having never talked to her, I really didn't know what her personality was. But I was always drawn to her at lunch or anywhere. Like, if she was around, like, I couldn't help but stare. And this is bad.
Like a stalker.
Yeah.
Thank you. Exactly.
I will freely admit it. This girl, if I had the tendency, I would have stalked the hell out of this girl, but, I just.
Again, not a sentence you want to use out loud in front of, you know, I don't know, the internet and everyone, like possible law enforcement that are listening right now.
If people listening to this show don't know what kind of scumbag I am.
Well, first of all, don't paint yourself with that same brush, but at the same time, yeah, kind of that brush a lot.
Yeah.
But still, you know.
So all through 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, huge crush on this girl, could never get up the courage, and I really wanted to just talk to her. And then about the last week of freshman year, I was actually given hope, only to have it taken away by my freaking mother. This girl started talking to me out of the blue.
Really?
Talking to me. No idea why. She did know that I had a crush on her because in 8th grade, some of her so-called friends tricked me into admitting that I had a crush, and then they went and told her, and they all had a fine laugh about it. Fortunately, one of my friends overheard the conversation and told me. So it was really crushed. But, yeah, last week of school, she started talking to me. And I kind of, like, through the summer, I kind of had this hope that maybe when school started again, we might, at the very least, develop a friendship. We still had, at that point, I thought we still had 3 more years of school, so who knew what could have happened. But, no, that was not to be. So,
what was it about her that initially drew you to her, I would say? Hello?
I honestly don't think I could define it. There was always just something about her. She seemed like she was.
You're pretty.
I have to paint you.
Sit in this Model T, and I will sniff your hair, and I will paint you. God damn it, right now.
No, honestly, I couldn't say. I wish I could, but at that point in my life, there was no way to really define it. Nowadays, I probably could have, given the same situation, but then it was just that undefinable attraction.
Okay.
I would not say that she was the prettiest girl in the school, but she definitely was not the ugliest.
Well, with a club foot and lazy eye. And
it was
but honestly, a great personality.
Palette that got me.
Beautiful singing voice, great with kids. Amazing. Animals loved her.
Does a lot of charity work.
Just, you know. She's good from far. She's very good from far, but far from good. I'm just saying.
Okay, Jim, who was the troll that got away from you?
Wow. Words hurt like sticks, you know, to my parts that have nerve endings and whatnot. Actually, there was a girl in high school that I pursued, that I got shot down by, very nicely. And to this day, we are still very much very good friends. Obviously we're both in relationships or whatever, so there's even like any kind of like a, she became more of a, the sister that I always wanted as opposed to the shitstorm that I have currently.
Jim, tell us how you really feel.
Well, you know. But no, actually,
save it for another show. We don't have time for that.
Anyway, so I met this girl, and I think it was like my sophomore year of high school, and what drew me to her initially was the fact that she had every bit of a razor-sharp sense of humor, and she was so quick. So quick. Like, you know, I threw something out there, and she would throw something back, you know, faster than I could. And for me, like, I'm a sucker for good banter. Like, you know, if you got that great personality, I don't give a shit about your hump or, like, you know, your open wound that's like kind of seeping a little bit, you know,
yeah,
or, like,
that.
Your eye patch. Or exactly. You know, if you're in a wheelchair, that's called personality. That's adding more, you know, dynamic to the, you know, the person I'm already attracted to. But she was very beautiful in my eyes. And, you know, just she – here's the thing. The reason why it didn't quite work out was because leading into high school, I had this guy that I was, like, best friends with. And, like, to the point where we were so close that we actually even looked alike. And people assumed that we were brothers. And so we got to freshman year of high school, and he got, like, super deep in, like, drugs and alcohol and shit like that. And I realized very early on that if I was going to do that, I was going to actually graduate. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to make the decision, cut him loose, be like, okay, here's your options. You either, you know, keep doing what you're doing and, you know, say, you know, do it on your own, or, you know, you leave that shit alone and you can still be friends. And so he went the other route. And so within the span of, like, you know, a half the school year, things went downhill for him fast. You know, he started, you know, missing school and getting in trouble with the law and, you know, actually started trying to run rumors around the school that I apparently got 3 DUIs all in the same month. And that it was also HIV positive. I'm like, wow, you're going out of your way to try and run some BS on me or whatever. But so, okay, at the end of the whole year, he ended up dropping out of that high school. And during the course of that summer, before this girl came to my school, they met and they dated for a brief period. And the two of us had so many similar, you know, characteristics aside from, like, looking alike, but, you know, everything else. And so they dated for a brief period and things went south, like, in an epic fashion. And so when I finally got a chance to talk to her and, you know, and realize, you know, wow, this is a girl that I really want to be with, I had no choice because I already had, like, this cock block in the way because this asshole had done such horrible things to her. And so, but we managed to remain friends. she joined speech and debate and theater, which was, like, two of my biggest passions in high school. And she and I became partners in speech and debate, and we actually went to nationals twice. So we had, like, this whole, like, you know, thing going on, and just never kind of got to the point where we could actually be boyfriend slash girlfriend. Senior year, we were both in drama, and so my dad picks this play at random. It's called The Real Inspector Hound. It's basically a play within a play where two drama critics are reviewing this play and, you know, get sucked into the play itself, and the play becomes real, and, like, one of the critics gets killed, and, like, the other one has to survive the whole thing until the actual Inspector Hound shows up, yada, yada, yada. I don't want to spoil it for you. But I studied this play, like, from top to bottom. I wanted to be this one main character because at a certain point during the play, this female character grabs this other character by the face and just kisses him full in the mouth. I'm like, you know what? I want to be that guy. And so I went above and beyond. I crushed the audition, and she also tried out, and she got the part of the woman that does that whole thing. And so we got back to the house that night, and my dad's like, you know, so what character were you thinking about, like, you know, going out for? Like, I want to be – his name is Bird Boot for whatever reason. I'm like, I want to be Bird Boot. God damn it. He's like, yeah, I kind of figured as much. And so he cast me. And so we did kiss, technically, at least 12 to 13 times during the course of our 10-year play.
Not that you were counting.
No, I mean, or have an actual, you know, video account of the whole thing. But, you know, you know, I was like, I'm going, I was like, this was like the perfect opportunity for me to sort of, you know, at least have some kind of a connection with her and that whole thing. But, you know, to this day, like, we're still a very, very solid friends. I mean, she's like a, again, one of those people that, you know, you have relatives because you're related by genetics or blood or whatever, but you've got family that are there because they're there for you. They have your back no matter what the fuck comes through the pipeline. And she's definitely on, like, the highest echelon of that whole thing. So even though we never actually got a chance to be boyfriend, girlfriend, and now we're actually more like, you know, family, I'm okay with not actually, you know, having them happen in the past. I'm just so thankful that, you know, we can still be friends and, you know, have each other's back here in the clear and present. So
that's awesome.
Insert joke here.
Guys, we are over. This is a long show, which I love.
Well, next week,
I want to talk about first loves or first dating experiences, because Jim, you said something a little earlier that reminded me of my first girlfriend, and who I saw a few years ago, and wow, what a mess she became. Seriously. So let's call it for this week, and we'll reconvene next week and share some more stories.
I do want to say, you know, Samantha, it is so much fun to actually have an hour or in change to play with you as well again. It's been far too long, girl.
I know. Stick in technology. I'm super excited because I know you and I have never, very rarely have been on the same podcast. And so it's a lot of fun to actually get in here and be able to joke around with you.
Well, and this schedule perfect. Works out for everyone. So that's
Yay.
Awesome. We'll continue it this way. We are going to, I'm going to endeavor to get hold of Bryce this week because I think he might be, ready to go on a hiatus because his baby boy is about to enter this world.
Seriously?
Yeah. Just, a week or two away now.
Wow.
From the due date. Right, so, yeah. Big happenings. We're going to wish the very best to Bryce. But I do have someone waiting in the wings who will take Bryce's place. Jim, you've met him. And you've done a couple of shows.
They made those sandwiches for Samantha, yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah, yay. Yeah. I won't be here next week then.
Yeah. All of Head
Low Tie. All of Head Low Tie will be joining us. until next week. Jim, Samantha, it was great talking to you. Can't wait to do this again.
Bye, guys.
Later, guys.
See you later, guys.